If you're in His Word, obeying Him, and you're tithing, and you're walking in love, and doing everything God says, I guarantee He's going to bless you and your family. He promises in His Word. It can't fail. God said, if you obey me and do what I say, He said, you'll be the lender, not the borrower. The blessings of Abraham are going to come upon us. We got a lot of people in America that don't know Jesus. This year, we need to make it a goal that I will do better this year at telling more people about the Lord Jesus Christ than I did this last year. I want to talk to people about Jesus. I want to make an impact. If the King were to come this year, next year, or the next, or whenever it is, and He's coming, it is not too far off, folks. I'll tell you, it's not too far off. Even if it's 20 years off, when you consider 6,000 years of history, what's 20 years out of 6,000? That's a drop in the bucket. And so what if it's 5 years? What if it's this year? And for some of us, it might be this year. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because He's going to come for some of us in death when He takes us home. It's going to happen for all of us, you know. So we need to learn everything we can in the Scripture. And something that I want to talk about in Galatians, starting with chapter 3, those people that Paul dealt with are just like us today. And so we're going to use the NLT, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, or Christians, what magician has cast an evil spell on you? For you used to see the meaning of Jesus Christ's death as clearly as though I had shown you a signboard with a picture of Christ dying on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? Of course not. For the Holy Spirit came upon you only after you believed the message you heard about Christ. See, these people had been under the law up until now. And then Jesus came, and now then we receive Him by faith. Now then, do you realize that you have to receive Jesus Christ by faith, or you're not even saved? So many people in church, I have sat on airplanes, and I've been in elevators, I've been in hallways, I've been in restaurants, I've met people all over this world, and I've traveled all over the world. And I've sat with people, and in America, it's just as bad, if not worse, and I ask a person, are you a Christian? Yeah. Where do you go to church? Well, I go to Lutheran church or Baptist church or Catholic church or whatever. I get every kind of answer in the world. I said, well, one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, and He says, should I let you in my heaven? What are you going to tell Him? They're going to say, well, I hope I've been a decent guy. I hope my good works outweigh my bad work. I said, that ain't going to get you in. Well, that's all God requires. I said, no, it's not. I said, you have to receive Jesus Christ by faith. If you don't receive Him by faith, I said, you're not going to get in. Now, I think there's going to be a whole lot of people that think they're okay. I hear people all the time say, but she's such a good Christian, or he's such a good Christian. Well, do they go to church? No. No, don't go to church. But they're a good Christian. Huh. Okay. Let's see what verse 3 and 4 says. Have you lost your senses? After starting your Christian life in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? The bad part about it today, so many Christians are not even trying to become perfect on their own merits. They're not even dreaming that they can be perfect. In fact, I had a young man come to a Bible study one night, and I was teaching on what's required to get to heaven. And I said, first of all, when you become a Christian, you become a new creature, and you're supposed to stop sinning. He held up his hand. He was a new guy, and he was with this girl that come quite regular. And he said, I got a question. He said, you really think that we as Christians can go through life without sinning? I said, absolutely. He said, that's impossible. He said, the church I go to, they say I'm just an unworthy sinner saved by grace. I sin all day, every day, and all I need to do is repent. I said, you must go to a Baptist church, because that's what I was raised up in. They taught me the same thing. But it wasn't a Baptist church he went to. It was somebody else's church. I said, so somebody else is teaching the same lie. He said, well, I guess the next thing you will say is, I'm supposed to be perfect. I said, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I will let the Word speak for itself. I said, I want you to turn to Matthew 5:48. But you are to be what? But you are to be perfect. And what kind of perfect did he use? Even as your Father, which is in heaven. So if my Heavenly Father is perfect, then who am I supposed to use as a direction to get where I'm going? Your Father. I'm supposed to be just like Him, right? And who was telling us this? Some fly-by-night cowboy, or who was quoting this? The king of the universe was making this statement, right? If you're in your Bible, it's probably in red. If it's in red, Jesus said, be ye perfect. Just look at that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So what is the goal for us for 2012? To be perfect. This is the goal. We need to do everything we can to be perfect according to this book. Because if this happened to be the year that the Lord comes again for you, and he could come for any of us in death in any second, what do you want him to say the second you step out of this flesh? When you look up and see the king standing there, what do you want to hear him say? Well done, faithful servant. I don't want him to say, I'm not too happy with you. I don't want to hear that. Do you? Or for some of those, he says, I never knew you in the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I sure don't want to be one of those. Do you? I can't even imagine spending the rest of eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Now, that's awful, but a lot of people are going to spend it there. Okay, let's go back to where we were. It says, haven't you lost your senses after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You have suffered so much for the good news. Surely it was not in vain, was it? Are you now going to just throw it all away? Now wait, what does that do with this once saved, always saved thing? Kind of throws it away, doesn't it? We've taught that in church, and that's the biggest lie that gives young people or anybody, okay, so I walked down that aisle and I got saved. I'm okay. I'm going to heaven when I die. And then they live like the devil himself. Do everything they want to do. And I mean, I've had many a young person or even older men that say, well, I'm okay. You know, I mean, my wife goes to church and she takes the kids, but you know, I got to go fishing. You know, I mean, you know, I got to work. I got to make a living. They give you every kind of excuse in the world. And I say, aren't you afraid that when you die, you go to hell? Oh, no. I mean, you know, they told me I'm once saved, always saved. You know, and I made Jesus my Savior a long time ago. And so I don't have to go to church, you know. If I run around with my wife a little, you know, I slip around, you know, when I'm out of town. She don't know, you know, but that's okay. God will forgive me. There's no problem, you know. And I have to steal from my company a little once in a while, you know. I mean, but nobody will know that I did that. I mean, there's people out there that's doing that every day. Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. Even George Bush Jr. himself. And the question was asked him, do you believe that Allah and Jesus Christ is the same God? And he said, oh, yeah, they're the same God. He said, we're all going to heaven anyway when we die. It makes no matter which one of them you serve. We're all going to heaven. I thought, you know, I thought he was a Christian. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes, would you? Absolutely not. You know, because not what this book teaches. Are you going to just throw it all away? Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't throwing mine away. I'm hanging on to Jesus. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. How do we get miracles done? In the name of who?
Jesus.
How do we get people healed? In the name of Jesus. Yeah, absolutely. And we are led by the Holy Spirit, and he works miracles among us because you obey the law of Moses? Absolutely not. But because you walk in faith. In the same way, Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous because of his faith. You talk about a man that was tested over and over and over. And the one test that Abraham had was the ultimate. You know, when he waited for this boy all these years. And then God told him, you're going to have a next year about this time, Sarah's going to have a baby. Now, she was only 90 and he was 100, somewhere around there. You can understand why Sarah laughed, right? She hadn't been able to have a baby in years. You know that her body was not even like it's supposed to be to have a child. So she knew she couldn't get pregnant. But what's impossible with God? Nothing. You know, now who knew that? Abraham knew that. So he said, you know, no problem. You know, if you say we're going to have a baby next year, I don't care if I'm 150. If you say we're going to have a baby next year, if God said we're going to have a baby next year, we're going to have a baby next year. You know, and that's the kind of faith Abraham had. And so sure enough, they had this little boy. And of course, the Lord told Abraham, now take your son and take everything to sacrifice him on the mountain to me. I can only imagine laying that little boy, that grown man. He was 30 years old when Abraham laid him on this altar and he was going to burn him and kill him. And he raised that knife up to come down. Now this is the ultimate test. This is the boy he's waited all of his life for. Somebody says, you know, God wouldn't test us like that. Let me tell you, if God tested Abraham like that and he's in the testing business, get ready for your test. Because he will test you. Now, don't lose it if God tests you somewhere, something that's beyond your imagination. Don't doubt the king. Just do whatever he tells you to do. I mean, he has tested me so many ways in my life. It's amazing. If you trust him, he'll always bring you through where you want to be or beyond anything you can imagine. The real children of Abraham, then, are all those who put their faith in God. So if the real children of Abraham are those who put their faith in God, do we put our faith in God? So are we real children of Abraham? Yes, we are. So all the promises, this book, scriptures, this book talks about that belongs to Abraham. The covenants and everything belongs to you and me. Everything that belongs to covenant, that belongs to Abraham, belongs to us because we are children of God. What's more, the scripture looked forward to this time when God would accept the Gentiles too on the basis of their faith. Now, are we Gentiles? And is he going to accept us on accordance with our faith? Yes, absolutely. So this is the same way. So it said God promised this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. And nations are still being blessed through Abraham. And so it is, all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Now, if people don't put their faith in Jesus, this is not theirs. This covenant does not belong to the people that does not believe in Jesus Christ. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. Now, this is the scary part. When you get saved and you walk in grace, you walk above the law. And there is no sickness, no sin, no nothing there. It's just absolutely, you walk in obedience to God's word, you walk in grace, you walk above the law, and you're not under God's curse. But if you sin, the minute you sin, you have just fell from grace. And we're going to get to this a little bit more in the scripture in a minute. You're going to fall from grace, and when you fall from grace, you fall from that platform up there where they're you're being led by the Holy Spirit. So you fall back under the law, and that's where Satan and his host of demons are, and that's what makes you sick. When you fall from grace, you fall from walking in faith to walking under the law. And when you fall down to that, you walk under the law, then the devil has legal right to you.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled New Year's Resolution, Use Me for Your Glory, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.